The Arcadale Terraway, North West London, in conjunction with Henadas and Swell Congregation, Monday, Tess Sivan, 25th of May, Reno Rav, Rav Shlomi Yisrael, Bishman, and Shlito, Rav Henadas. Bringing Maseches Tefillin to life. This week's Torah was sponsored by OCK Chartered Surveyors, Lagdil, Torah, Lahadirot, and in memory of our esteemed founder, Rav Yosef Dovben, and Shomachol Tzvi, Yitzkvitz, Zichron, Noni, Brachot.
Today, Be'ezes Hashem, we're going to try to bring Maseches Chulin to life. Maseches Chulin is obviously a Masechta that deals with Shechita, Treifas, the beginning, the first 60 blot or so. And when one learns the Gemara and doesn't know the Metzias, it can get quite difficult, especially certain terms that the Gemara uses, Rashi uses, and I think it would be very beneficial if we can try to synchronize the Gemara and the Metzias. In other words, there's one thing about demonstrating the animal b'shchita, which we've done in the past, but today we're going to try something unique. So we have here the Gemara in one hand, and we're going to show on the animal what the Gemara is talking about. Now, there's a lot to talk about. Daf Hayomi is holding already Daf Chof Hei or so. So there's a lot that was covered. So what we're going to try to focus is more on the Dafim that were learned recently, which are still quite fresh, relatively fresh in people's memories. And then we'll go to the Dafim that are upcoming in the second Perek through till the end of the second Perek. Not the whole thing, but the main points. And then, if we have time, we'll go back to the beginning of the first parak. So, without further ado, let's start with the Mishnah Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah speaks about Hashoychet Mitoich Hatabas V'Shayer Bo Meloi Hachut Al Penei Kula Shechitosoi Keshera, which means that if a person shechts, so as we will see, there are two simonim, especially by a behemah. The din is that you have to do roif shnayim. That's the second beginning of second parak, Daf Chav Zayin, where the Mishnah says that halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that you have to shecht roif shnayim. By a bird, by a oif, it's enough to do roif echot, either the kona or the veshet. But by a behema, you need to have roif shnayim. Now, the kona is here, the veshet is here. It's hard to show from here, but I'm happy if Doina wants to come later to see it up close. We want to focus on the taboos. Now, the way the kona is made, it's a bunch of rings. Now, these rings have, it's all made out of cartilage, and between, it's not one solid piece, it's a bunch of rings. So let's say the rings are made out of cartilage, and between each cartilage, there's skin. Now, maybe it's scientifically, it may have different names, I'm just saying it as a layperson. This is like the way it looks like. I'm sure that science has different names for each type of texture, so to speak. So, the sugya here talks about the taboos. Now, the Mishnah says that if someone shechts mitoich ha-tabas, Rashi says it's called the tabas ha-gedoyle. What's the tabas ha-gedoyle? So the tabas ha-gedoyle is the very first ring at the very top of the kona, of the windpipe. And that ring is unique with the fact that it's a full circle, which means that all the other rings, as we will see, again, it's hard to show from here, and there's not enough room for everyone to congregate, but I'm happy to show it around at the end of the shir. But the rings are not full circles. The rings are like a U. And at the end, there's, again, the skin that connects it. So when you look at it, it's one unit. You don't see any separation. But that's the way the structure of it is. It's a bunch of rings. It's not a full circle. And the tabas ha-gedoyle, the top ring, the very top, is a full ring. So the Mishnah says that if someone shechts the tabas ha-gedoyle, and he leaves over meloya chut apanei kula, which means that he didn't go higher than that, Because here we are discussing the Mokem HaShchita. Where is the Mokem HaShchita? So the Mokem HaShchita, according to the Mishnah, is by the Tabas HaGedoyle. As long as a person didn't go higher than the Tabas HaGedoyle, he's fine. Then we have...
Higher means nearer to the head.
Correct. Because it starts from the head and it goes lower down, and higher means nearer to the head. Correct. So now the Gemara says that Hashoichet b'shar taboois af al pi she'ei makifois es kol hakono hoil u makifois es roiv hakono shechitose kesher. That's the Gemara daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. That means that if, let's say, a person did not shechted by the Tabas HaGedoyle, as we said, the Tabas HaGedoyle is a full circle. Instead, he shechted it in one of the taboois which are lower down, which are not a full circle. So the question is, maybe it's not considered a kosher shechita. So the Gemara says no, because it's makif roiv hakona, which means, as we said, it's a U, and a U is, most of it is that cartilage, which is a ring. It's not a full circle ring, but it's a roiv of a ring. That is fine as well. And Rashi says, l'hom milsenam amrina ruba kekula l'shavinu kono umokem kosher l'shchita. In other words, we take it for granted that anywhere in the kona is kosher, but the Gemara is explaining that Be'etzem, Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai says that a kona is one of the simonim. What is the kona? Maybe the kona is only where you have a tabas hagadoyle, which is a very limited space. So the Gemara says no, ruba kekula, and therefore the entire kona has a din of mokem hashchita, but obviously it doesn't go all the way. The kona goes all the way into the lung, it goes into the heart, it goes even into the liver, which is even further down. It doesn't mean that you can shecht it by the liver, because that's already shloi b'mokem hashchita from the other side. But right now, this is what the Gemara is discussing, the beginning. Where does the mokem hashchita start? So the Gemara said, in the Mishnah it seems that it has to be by the Tabas HaGedoyle. The Gemara says, no, you can do it even lower as well.
So, very good. So
from the Mishnah it seems that the minimum is you have to go through the Tabas HaGedoyle. What if you go higher, which means closer to the head? That would be a problem. What does the Gemara call that? The Gemara calls that Mugremes. Mugremes, the Gemara calls, if you go higher than the Tabas HaGedoyle. Lemaise, the Gemara says that we don't paskin like that. We paskin that Mugremes is kosher. What does Mugremes mean? Rashi says, Vafila lemalo, kula lemalo min haTabas HaGedoyle, which means that he went even higher than Tabas HaGedoyle, that he didn't even cut through the Tabas HaGedoyle. He is higher than that. And Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai says that as long as it's Mishipua Koiva Ulamata, the Shipu Koiva, I'll show here, I expose it here, and I'll show the Oilam what the Shipu Koiva is, and that is a bit higher than the Tabas HaGedoyle, and we passed that if you do it under the Shipu Koiva, it's called Shipu Koiva, it is kosher, yes? No. Ruba Kekula has many, many applications. By the Kona, it's Ruba Kekula if it's Trefa, if it's Nizdak. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Mokem HaShchita, and the Chiddush of what we said before, Ruba Kekula, is that even though the rings aren't full rings, it's still considered a Tabas, because it's still considered Kona, because Kona, by definition, is hard, right? A Kona is... Even though the Gemara uses the Lashon Rachka Kona, but Kona has is a more of a solid thing, and this Kona, the windpipe, is not solid all around. As we said, all the other taboys are only roiv. So here Rashi says that the concept of ruvik kuloi applies as well. So basically, the Gemara says that Reb Shimon ben Lakish achsher b'chuda de koiva, he was machsher by the shikua koiva, and Rashi says kemin koiva yesh lemalo min hakone, on top of the kone there's like a hat, like a cover, a koiva la rosh, and Rashi explains about the bosar that's ma'akav es hakoil, but the kitzer, this is, that shipu is called shipu koiva, and the shipu koiva is where we, it has to be under the shipu koiva. Now, just, I'm sure the Olam is wondering, where do we shecht lemaise? In other words, how close to the shipu koiva, how far from the shipu koiva? Now, a shoicha that shechts by the shipu koiva, even if he does it underneath, such a shoichet shouldn't be shechting. In other words, we'll retrain him to go much lower, because if you're so high, you are, you know, in a very dangerous zone, and especially you have a problem with the veshet, because the veshet sits on top of the kona, as we will see. We have it here, and the veshet also needs to be shechted in a certain place by the turbat habeshet. And that's something in the second parak. And lemaisa, if you go too high by the kana, chances are that you did hagroma when it comes to the veshet. So therefore, as we will see in this goat, where the shoichet shechted way below the shipu koiva, way below even the tavas hagadoyle, and therefore he is safe. And that's how we do it lemaisa. Now, the Gemara speaks about the sugya of shochat shnei shlish, higrim shlish, shochat shnei shlish, that's the whole sugya. So for that you would have to be a real uman to be able to do it. You know, the shochat, it takes literally a split second, and there's no time for these types of carving. But, you can, if the oilin wants, later I'll show what it would mean. Higrim shlish, shochat shlish, or vice versa, shochat shlish, higrim shlish. It's basically when you're doing it very, very precisely, and it's not something that's done because il halacha lamaisa, such a shochat, would be retrained, for a better word. So then we have a concept of shchita meferas, which the Gemara Daf Yud Tesamud Beis speaks about. And shchita mefaras is what we do. In other words, the only way how you would be able to do higrim shlish, shochat shlish, is if you mamish cut just about by the simonim, and you don't open it up. Today, when we shech, we open it up, and we do a quick job, a swift cut, and therefore, it's all open, as we will see here in the animal. You see it very clearly, and there's no room for sofik, because there are many other things that need to be checked. You have to check that he did roiv, the shoichet has to be voidik the simonim. So when you do a shchita mefaras, which means you open it up, then you see everything. And the lashon of shchita mefaras we find in the Chazal by Yosef Atzadik, when itvoyach tevach v'hochein, how did the brothers rely on eating from Yosef, and they did know it's Yosef. So Chazal say, Mokom Shchita Paralahem. He showed them the Mokom Shchita, and this way they were convinced that it was done to Das Ikedin. Okay, so where I live. So that is, so to speak, the first part which I wanted to focus on, which is the Daf HaYomi that was learned already. Now, we're going to go to more...
The Daf HaYomi, which told that Shemes
is a problem.
Yeah,
that means in the Tavas HaGadoyla.
So
the Tavas HaGadoyla. So this is another point I wanted to make, which someone asked me, that if you hold that you have to shech in the Tavas HaGadoyla, how is that possible? How is it possible to shech in the Tavas HaGadoyla? We're not by a behemoth, a beef, it's a bit bigger, but here you'll see how big the whole Tavas HaGadoyla is. You need to have almost x-ray vision to be able to aim exactly for that. So the answer is that you don't need x-ray vision, because a shoichet may typically make be toifes the simonim. In other words, depending on how the animal is positioned and how it's restrained, right? Because that is the most important part of shechting, is to have the simonim taut. They have to be stretched out, And this way, when you cut, it goes straight to, as they say, you cut to the chase. We don't want to waste too much time. We want to cut and get it over with straight away with the first try. So sometimes the shoychet will be toifus, alive from when the animal is still alive. He'll hold on to the simonim and he'll feel it. You can feel with your finger where the tabas hagadoyla is. Through the skin, you can feel. And therefore, he puts his finger and he cuts right by his finger. So it's possible to do by the tabas hagadoyla as well. The only thing is that today we wouldn't do it because we don't spend so much time on the shechita. We want to do it swiftly rather than focus on it. I mean, we focus on the ma'isa shechita, but because we pasken that the whole area is kosher, you don't need tabas hagadoyla, so it doesn't really matter. So now let's go to the Mishnah in the second parak, which I believe is tomorrow's daf or after tomorrow, daf Chav Zayin, where the Mishnah speaks about echad ba'oif u'shnayim be'behema, which means by a oif you need to do one siman lekatchila, you don't need more than one, and by a behema you need two lekatchila, all of it. B'di'evet ruboy is also good, which means b'di'evet means that if that's what happened, you don't have to go and shecht it, fakir, there's an inyan not to, because we pasken that shehiya, the miud basra, is also a problem. It's a whole sugi in the Gemara, which means that we know that you need only roiv. So now the question is, what happens if a person shechts the behemah roiv, and then he daydreams, and then he continues? So be'etzem, if this would be Maisa Shechita, where it's Ma'akev, it would be Shehiyah, right? Because you're not supposed to be Mafsik. One of the five halachas is Shehiyah. You have to do it in one go. You can do it, it can take you all day, which means you can be Molech HaMevi, even if it's Kol Hayoim. But you can't stop. If you stop, it's a problem. How long is the stop? Is a big Machloikis. We pass when the Ramah says, any. In other words, even the minutest Shehiyah is a problem. And just to put things into perspective, what would be Shehiyah Lemaisa? So, if let's say the Shoichet knocks into the box, right? The animal is restrained in a box, and he knocks into the box. Now, obviously not in a way that it affects the knife, because, you know, if the point of the knife, the chud, knocks into the box, then it becomes pogu. But we're talking about even if the part that's not a problem goes into the box, that's called the shehiyah, because that second that he didn't shech, it like got stuck in the middle of the way, that's a problem. If sometimes this happens, the knife gets stuck in the skin. Any type of irregularity that's not one hemshech is considered shehiyah. A bigger chiddush is the Ramah that says, and this is very common, and the shoychet checks it, that when you shecht the chicken has been eating right before shechita. So there are things going down the veshet. What if you find that when you shechted, you cut through a straw? Sometimes they swallow a straw. So if they swallow a kernel, it goes straight down. But if they swallow a straw, it's still stuck in the veshet, and you cut through the grass or the whatever. That's called the shehiyah, because when you went through the grass, you didn't do shechita. So we're talking about the Ramah is machmer on even the slightest shehiyah. I once was standing by a shechita, and I saw that there was a bug that the chicken was in the middle of you know, consuming, but obviously it didn't go down well. You know, he needed some help. It was stuck somewhere in the veshet, and it was an availer, because when he cut straight through that bug, so that's a problem, because any maisa that is something not in the simonim, the Ramah says it's considered shehiyah. So these are the inyanim of shehiyah. So basically,
not shehiyah, then not a time factor. There's something else being cut,
which means that at that time when you cut through that, you didn't do the shechita.
Unlikely, because you're ramped, so
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's not a 3D, you know, it's slanty. It could be that the knife at that point focused on, right? If you go in a slant.
Tip of the knife.
Yeah, okay. So that's how Chumradig, the Ramo is Machmer, that even the slightest chashash, you're right, that if it would be perfectly straight and the knife would be sort of weighing down on the veshet, and the bog is there, maybe it's not affecting the cutting of the veshet, but it could very well be that if it's on a slant, that while you're going down the slant or up the slant, you are cutting only the bog and not the veshet, and at that point you had a shear. The what? Yeah, the shoychet looks at it, but I happen to be by that shaita.
Are we talking only about 1 or 2 seconds?
1 or 2 seconds? Do you know how long a second is? Do you have an idea how long a second is? Second. the whole shaita is less than a second. Yeah, I mean, by a chicken for sure. By a beef, maybe, you know, could be a bit longer. But we're talking about 2 seconds maximum. I mean, a second in this context is very long. So shahia is any type of shahia, even such a thing as cutting through a blade of grass or a bog, that is also considered in of shahia. So,
as Spanish people also don't know, or not shahia.
I don't know. Pashtas, everyone has the same standard, probably. I don't know. I can't say. I don't know. Oh, so that's what I'm discussing. That if a person did roiv, let's say he did roiv, and now he does a shahia, you're not supposed to go back. Even though it's kosher without, but if you finish it, it's called miyud basra. That's another chiddush, which it's a big machloikis, but the Ramo paskins that shahia b'miyud basra, or any hakroma b'miyud basra, the higrim, right? The din of shochat shlish, higrim shlish, and shochat shlish, according to the Ramo, is tamazoya problem. And there's many cases of miyud basra, shahia b'miyud basra, and any other psul. The same shaila you have by miyud kama. Right? Miyut kama means that's also in the Gemara, that there's a chilik between the kona and the veshet, legaba, what makes a treif. The kona is only treif beruboy, which means it has to be nizdak beruboy. So technically speaking, if you would cut the beginning of the kona with a scissor, right? And then it's not roiv yet. It's up to half, because half is not yet. And then you go and you shecht it. The Gemara speaks about it, and it could be it's kosher, because the first part is not counted. And then roiv shlish, that's the whole sigya of higrim, because by higrim shlish is only shayach by the kona, because the kona doesn't become treif until you're into it. The veshet is even mamashu. So the shaila is, what's if you do a psul by miyat kama, we also machmir. So basically, many of these gemaras is halacha v'loy lemaisa, because the Rama is machmir on everything. So if a person shechted roiv and he didn't finish, you shouldn't go back, because if you go back, you have a problem. There's a whole shaila, what if the goy finished it off? In other words, sometimes that happens, that the shoychet finishes and it's kosher, but it wasn't severed all the way. And then the goy, in order to start doing what he's doing, so that's already a different story, because that's no shaychet to shchita, it wasn't done by a shoychet. So these are all discussions that are discussed in halacha, but this is all based on the inyan of the roiv echad ba'oif and roiv shnayim ba'behema, and so on. Meira. Yeah, because lekatchila. Yeah, but that's Me'ikra Din. Because Me'ikra Din, Shehiya wasn't a problem if it's so quick. And the Meirak, you can, Kehanim Zrizimhem, they can, the second one can take over while the first one is still hasn't finished yet. And it takes skill, but you know, Kehanim Zrizimhem can include that as well. And also, it could be that the Ramah, when Mashiach comes, he'll agree that in the Beis HaMikdash, because Kehanim Zrizimhem, we don't have. What's the reason why we're choshesh for even a Shehiya, the slightest Shehiya? Because, you know, you can't leave it up to people to decide, right? This is, this isn't. So we have to make a rule all across the board, any Shehiya. But the Kehanim, they can do a Shehiya, which is not really a problem. That could be another pshat. And let's hope to Takasi. Well, it's a good question. We'll ask the Ramo what he says in the Beis HaMikdash. So, here we have a very interesting Gemara, which I want to explain, and the Olam will find it, you know, very helpful to understand the Gemara. The Gemara Daf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph brings a story. Hahu Bar Avze. There was this a goose, the Hava Bei Rova, Osa Kim Masmas Kuei Dom. The neck was bloody. In other words, it had an injury, and where was the injury? On the outside skin. So, be'etzem, it's not a problem. But you have to know how deep this went in. And by a goose, it's not that thick, the skin. You know, by a behemoth gasa, you have a thick piece of skin. You know, tefillin is made from the skin in that area, by the head. But we're talking about a decent, you know, a relatively thick piece of skin. But by a goose, by a bird, it's very thin. Now the question is, what did they do? Omarov, Heichan Eved, the Gemara Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. What should we do? How should we go about it? Nishchatei, should we shecht it? V'hoda Nivdikei, because again, the neck is bloody, right? So to be boidik, you have to open up the neck. That doesn't work, right? Because you're going to kill it. You're going to damage it. So should we shecht it? And then we're going to be boidig to see if the simonim were affected. Dilma b'makam nekev keshochet. Maybe you won't find anything because punkt, the you shechted it by the nekev. Nivdikei v'hoda nishchatei. Why can't we be boidig it and then shecht it? Which means that technically speaking, if you're careful, you can open up the skin without affecting the simonim, and that wouldn't be a treif. But we have a problem. The veshet, you can't be boidik from the outside. Why can't you be boidik it from the outside? So Rashi explains, because the veshet, as we will see, has two skins. It's one skin in the other, an inner one and outer one. The inner one is white, the outer one is red. Now, how could you check a red skin if there's a koiradam? The whole thing is red. So a koyre dam would only appear, we're talking about even a minute, tiny, you know, drop of blood, it would only appear in the inside, not at the outside. So what do? We can't be boidik it. And to wait till after the shechita, you also can't, right? So what do?
You check it lower down.
What do you mean lower down? No, the whole neck is bloody. So here's what the Gemara says, and this is halacha lemaisa. Omalei Rav Yosef Rei nivdekei lekona. So you open up the neck, and you boidik the kona. And if you don't see anything in the kona, nishchatei lekona, you shech the kona. And by a bird, it's a goose. So the kona, it's kosher. V'lichsherei v'hoder lafchua leveshet v'levdekua. Then you turn the veshet inside out. And you check in the white skin, which is inside, whether it has a drop of blood. So this is an ingenious way of how to deal with a bird that has a shayla. And you have to be boidikit. You can be boidikit post-shechita, because maybe you won't find anything, because punkt by the mokam ha-shechita, that's where you had the hole. So to be boidik the veshet is impossible mechayim. So you boidik the kona mechayim, you shecht it, and then you boidik the veshet, And if everything is okay, then the bird is kosher. Now, the what?
You need to check either or both. Whatever no. Color is equal status to the version.
What do you mean?
You have to check both, right?
No, by a bird is
one.
Is an echad, even the katchila, roi v'echad v'di'evet.
It could be one or the other.
Yeah, but here in this case...
You've got the same thing.
No, what do you mean?
Well, it could be that the kana is wrong with the neck.
But the kana you can check mechaim. You open up the skin.
It's white.
It's white, yeah. You'll see here, it's white. The veshet is red, the outside skin. But that's something which, unless you see it, and you feel it, you touch it, it's hard to understand. But if you see it, you open it up. Now, the bad news is that the Rama says, any animal that comes with a wound on the neck, we don't touch, we don't check, we're not bakim bedikas. So this happens, believe it or not. This happens by chickens, this happens by dachas, lamb and goats, and it happens by gusses. So by chickens, many times, you have, you know, something on the neck, and if it's only like a wound that doesn't have blood, then it's not a problem. But if it has any blood, you can't take it. Now, where can it be noigea? Sometimes the chicken, the hair on the chicken's neck is a bit long. Then you have a shayla of chaloda. Chaloda means that the knife hides before you shecht it, and it can be sort of covered in the hair. So you have to rip out the hair. The Ramah in Eben Ezer, Simon Hay, talks about Tsar Bala Chaim, whether you're allowed to do it or not, and he says you are allowed to do it. But you have to be careful that if you don't know what you're doing, you may cause a wound, and if you cause a wound when you rip out the hair, then you can't use the chicken. By lamb and goats, more lamb than goats, you have a big problem, because the lamb grow wool, and the wool gets, you know, quite heavy, quite big, and you can't shecht it that way, because if you shecht it, it's going to cover the knife, and that's called chaloda. So lekatchila, you shear the necks of the lamb. Now, sometimes the shoychet comes and it's not sheared, so there is a way to do. You make a shvil. You have to separate and make a path that the knife should be able to go without chaloda. But you know the shochtim don't like it, and especially if you know they pay for the abattoir to shear the lamb. So sometimes they have a goy, he gets all nervous that, you know, the line is stopped and, you know, it's not moving. He comes with his shear machine and he shears it wildly, and what happens? You know, he makes a wound. If it starts bleeding, then it's game over. You can't use the animal. And by beef, you have, in some places, this is something which here the oiler may not understand, but it can happen in England as well. In the winter, the animals are transported in these big lorries, and they can come with ice stuck to their necks. In Toronto, it happened, every time in the winter was a very big problem. So, you know, there's a special scratch or something, whatever it's called, to remove anything that's on the neck, because if there's anything on the neck, it's going to be poigim the chalav. So sometimes, if he goes a bit wild, then he can make a wound. If he makes a wound, the animal, you can't use the animal. So this is all part of what the Gemara talks about. Then we have another interesting thing, which the Mishnah speaks about, the veridin. Veridin are these, what's the word for veridin?
Veins.
No, veins, I know, but there's a word for veridin. No, not sinews. Maybe we'll come back. But veridin are basically certain veins which are on the side of the neck. So the Rabbi Huda seems to say that you have to shecht it. And shechting means that you have to do it with the same knife, with the same halachas. So in other words, we have two simonim, plus we have these veridin. But we paskin that the veridin have to be removed. In other words, if you're going to roast the animal whole, then there's a problem. But today, no one does it, so the vreed and be'etzem is not such a big concern.
Blood vessels on the neck and arteries.
Arteries, okay. That's a, it's not an English word. It's a whole description. Okay. But basically, it's the arteries on the side of the neck, and it's interesting to see that many times, I mean, by usually most shechitas, it just goes straight through. But sometimes you have the big beef, and it's still throwing itself, and then when you sever the vreedin, that's what sort of you know, puts it a bit more to rest.
Is it like a sinew?
It's a sinew, artery, all these things are the same. I mean, the it's not the jugular vein, which is also in that area. But anyway, so then we have a very interesting thing, which how much do you have to shecht? So roiv. What if you only shecht at half? So the shaila is, we have many sugyas in shas, mechtza al mechtza, whether it's considered like roiv or not. But here, everyone holds that it has to be roiv hanera le'enayim. Now roiv hanera le'enayim is pshat, that you can't measure it with a string, and then, in other words, you take the circumference and you see if it's half or not. Because if you don't see it straight away that it's for sure roiv, then it's a problem. I remember many years ago, I was in a camp with boys who, you know, for good behavior, they were promised that they're going to shecht the lamb, they're going to have a barbecue. So when you shecht the lamb, you have many risks that you take, because you know, it has to be kosher as well. It could be a treifa. But here there was a problem that the shochet wasn't, you know, the most experienced, and he made a shechita not a mefaras, and they had a shaila whether it was roiv hanera le'enayim, and they showed it to me, and you know, I was very sad to break it to them that they just missed that roiv hanera le'enayim. Maybe it was mechtza al mechtza, but it was not roiv hanera le'enayim, and it was a problem, as we would call it, a DOA, right? It was a dead on arrival. In other words, it didn't even make it to the bedikas to see whether it's a treif or not. Then we have the Mishnah on Daf Lamed that speaks about drosa. Drosa is one of the five halachas. What's drosa? Drosa means that when you cut, you cannot cut it like you would cut a tomato or tomato, as they call it here. Why? Because when you cut a tomato, you put pressure on it. You cannot put pressure on on the chalef. You have to hold it. That's a halacha. You hold it like this. Usually, people don't even realize, but when you cut something, you put your finger there to put pressure. By shechita, you can't do that. You have to hold it like this, and you cut, and obviously that's what the shochtim train for. Now, what would be a case of drosa? So the Mishnah speaks about hittes as haroish v'bas achas, which means in one swift move, he cut the neck, the simonim. That's called drosa. But if he was shoichet and he was hit as a saroish, that's okay. In other words, you have to do haylocha v'hoivo in order for it to be shechita and not drosa. Now, there are many applications of drosa which, you know, would be interesting to understand just to be able to see it halacha l'maisa. There's a very big controversy about shechita me'umedes, which means that in England, let's say, there's a law that you cannot shecht the animal when it's on its back. You go to Europe, you know, many beef shechitas that come to England come from Poland, so they allow the meat to come in, but there in Poland, there's a box that turns over. The animal goes into the box. We're talking about, you know, 1,000 kilos, right? So this is not, you know, this is not child's play. So there's a big heavy box, everything is, you know, heavy metal, and he goes in, it's restrained, and then the box just rotates. It flips it on its back, and the shoichet goes malo lomato, and that is the way they shecht it in the Beis HaMikdash, as we learn with the taboys, that they put the animal down, they put it in the ring, and that's how they shecht it. I believe that The first country to pass that law was Canada. In the 1950s, they passed a law that it's inhumane and it has to be standing. Rav Osner, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, came to Montreal. There was a lot of shechita there then, I think in 1955, and he came to check it out. What's the problem with shechita mu'medes, that it's standing? The problem is that the head is very heavy. Literally, if you to carry a head of a cow, it's very, very heavy. And you know, these goyim train for it. It's mamash heavy. So imagine if the head just falls down, right? And if it falls down and it falls on the knife, ein lecha drosa gedoy lemizud. That's proper drosa. So the halacha says that you have to tie it well, you know, knot it, be kosher it lamala. This way, it shouldn't fall. But it's inevitable that, you know, even from the pressure, right, when it's alive and it's stretched out, there's a lot of pressure. As soon as you cut it, some of the pressure is released and there is a certain amount of falling down. But that's something that you can see that it doesn't affect the Indian of drosa. But that is the challenge of shechita omedes.
But the head only falls after the someone.
No, as soon as you imagine something that's stretched out, taut out, and you open a cavity there, right away there's something, some release of the pressure. But if you watch it carefully, you see that it doesn't, you know, the head is properly restrained in a metal, it's called the chin lifter, it lifts the chin of the animal, and it's not going anywhere. But that is the challenge of shechita omedes, that you have to make sure that the head is tied properly, because otherwise you have a shayla of drosa. We in England they shech mimata lamala. Yes. No. If you cut it without putting pressure, then it's not a problem. Love dafke. If it's properly restrained, it's the same thing.
But yeah. How do you cut from Mimata Mala without putting pressure?
And the same way from Mimata Lamata. You're not cutting a piece of paper, you're cutting something that's you know, thick, and the knife is sharp enough, so you cut it. So it's the same.
You put power on the knife.
Sure, you put power.
So what's the difference if you press down?
No, if you don't do halacha vayvo, then that by definition has to be with too much power, right? If you're using it like a cleave, right?
So that, you can use power, but
yeah, it has to be halacha vayvo without putting pressure. So lemaisa, the main concern by shechita omedes is the tying of the head, and that's something you find in the shach. So Rav Osner sanctioned it, and that is. I believe England followed suit after them. And Taki in England, you don't have, even the lamb is also oimedes. The lamb, at least where I was in quite a few places in England, they're standing. They have a special type of a such a machine and a conveyor belt where it's suspended and they do it standing. In some places, I've seen it, them doing it, they lay it on the back. There's a special bed that they have. I've seen hanging, the animals are hanging. And I've even seen an attempt, they tried making a box for lamb. And that didn't work, it never took off. It's very not practical, but because, you know, we're talking about tiny little animals compared to the big bulls, cows, that we have proper boxes for. But the what?
Is an upside down shechita preferable?
Again, the way shechita is meant to be is an upside down shechita. So some will use that as a selling point. We have, you know, shechita monachas. But al pi halacha, if you do it properly, then it's not a problem. How? You don't want to know. I've been to South America, and what I saw there, I mean, I heard that they stopped. an animal only has its power, and we're talking about a bull, as long as it has 4 feet on the ground. As soon as you suspend the feet off the ground, it's totally powerless, right? Because it doesn't have where to, you know, to pull its weight, right? So what they do in the boxes that they use, they have what's called a belly lifter, right? It's not nice to be in that box, believe me. You know, you come in, it's all open and nice, but as soon as the animal, the back door closes and pushes it, the sides become constrained, and then there's a belly lifter, and basically, by the time you're shechting it, all it can do is bellow, it can scream, but it can't do anything, can't do much, because it's suspended. Okay, so in South America, which, you know, there they have different rules. So basically, they make the animal slip. They have like a slippery floor, so the animal slips, right, loses its balance, and then they hoist it up, you know, in the air, but not all the way, because you can't shecht it otherwise. They have a fork. And I'm not talking about a fork that we eat the meat with. We're talking about a big, huge fork, like a shovel, that they stick into the neck of the jaw of the animal, and then they shecht it. So if you're asking how they restrain it, there's other ways of restraining it, which doesn't look very nice. And I heard that they stopped it there as well, because all the countries that import meat from other places, they have special inspections to make sure that they follow the rules. So that's why I said before that even though England doesn't allow shechita menachas, they allow to import shechita menachas, or maybe they don't know. But from South America, most countries wouldn't allow to import meat that was treated in such a way, so they had to stop. So that is as far. Now, another practical application. Pardon? I can't hear you. That's a very good question. Look in the Ramah in Simon Hay in Eben Ezer. You have all the answers.
Why is your work not banned?
The what?
Why is your work not banned?
I don't know if they know about it. You know, you have a phenomenon. I've seen it, that when the daddy comes, they do differently. They behave differently, and everything is, I've seen it.
Doesn't this instrument make a wound?
No, it doesn't make a wound. I mean, I'm sure it's uncomfortable and it hurts, but it's not a pointy thing. It's a thick thing that just holds it in place, as long as the shochet needs to be able to share. Now, a practical application of drosso is the size of the knife. Now, I have here two knives. There are three sizes for knives that you have by shechita. You have, this is a knife that they use for beef. It's about 18 inches. Then you have half of it that they use for dakas, which I don't have here. But then we have the size that they use for oifas. So this is used for chickens, for geese, and for ducks, and for turkeys. Now, the halacha says that the knife has to be pishnayim b'tzavara. It has to be double the size of the neck. Now, a chicken is, there's more than two necks of a chicken, but they want to cover any type of, a turkey can be a bit bigger. So therefore, it's big enough for all kinds of oifas. This is big enough for all kinds of gasses. And then you have a chalav that's about half of this between the two, which is the size for dakas. Now, the reason why it has to be a certain size is because if it's too small, then you may put more pressure than necessary to get your job done. If it's too big, it doesn't say that it's not kosher, but you have to know what you're doing. Try to shecht a chicken with such a knife. You know, the chicken looks at it and the head flies off, right? So it's you have to be very careful. One of the big challenges of Shechita, which is not so common, but you know, people that eat pigeons. There is a Shechita for pigeons, and I remember many years ago, someone made a wedding, and you know, they had to do something different than everyone else, so they served pigeons. They shechted 1,000 pigeons. Each person got 2 pigeons on their plate, and everything went to the rubbish, because you know, it's maybe you can look at it, but you know, no one fancied eating those pigeons. But shechting a pigeon is very, very challenging. Why is shechting a pigeon very challenging? Because the Olam remembers, or that's something you'll see in the Mishnah about Malika, right? The difference between Malika and Shechita. Malika is, you first get to the Mafrekes, which is the bone, and then the Simonim. Shechita, first you get to the Simonim, and then to the Mafrekes. Now, one of the things that a Shochet avoids at all costs is the Mafrekes, because if he gets too close to the Mafrekes, which means he goes too high, here you can see the Mafrekes, the knife will become pogo, right? So by Malika, it's not a problem. A pigeon is so tiny that if you don't get the exact point, you may get to the Mafrekes before you get to the Simonim. And by Shechita, if you get to the Mafrekes before you get to the Simonim, it's an Avela, because the Mafrekes makes the Sakon pogum. If you cut through the Mafrekes. So, yes?
Is that the spinal cord?
No, the spinal cord, it starts before. The spinal cord is, there's a bone around it. The Mafrekes is the bone, there's the part of the bone that's before the spinal cord.
It protects the spinal cord.
Okay, then you have the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis about Shehiya and about Chaloda. And then, I think that's it for now. There's much, much more that I prepared, but you know, we ran out of time. And if the Olam wants, I'm happy to display here the different things that we can see. So here you have, so this is the mouth, and obviously the mouth is the beginning, the end of the whatever, the throat. That's where you have the two simonim, the kona and the vesha. Now I ripped out the chibur, the mokama chibur of the kona and the first the kona. In other words, here is where it would be connected. Where you see my finger, right? Avi? Yeah? So this is where the kona would be connected. Now, if you take a look, this is a very interesting thing. This is called the koiva. This thing here is the koiva. Now, this has a name in English, but what it does is that when a person talks, right, it opens up because the air comes out from the windpipe. But when a person eats, it covers the windpipe, because the thing is that the veshet, which is the esophagus, is on top of the windpipe. So how, when a person eats, how does he avoid that the food shouldn't go into the windpipe, right? Gravity will gravitate the food into the windpipe, because that is the first thing. If you take a look, this is the windpipe, and it goes down here, and here you can see my finger, which is where above the taboys, and then here is the vesha. If you see my next finger, the same finger, but in the next place, that is the vesha. So the vesha, as we said, is collapsible, right? The kona is like a stent. It's sturdy, because otherwise, you know, a person wouldn't be able to breathe, right? So in all living beings, that I've seen inside, the kana is sturdy, and the veshet is collapsible, because the veshet is only used when you're eating. Now, how? So as I said, so the Rebbe Shem made it in such a way that when a person eats, the thing is covered. Now, why a masich and basuda? Because when you talk, the thing opens.
Yeah.
And then you have the danger of the food going into the thing. Why is haseva betzad smol? Why do you lean on the left side? Because the veshet is on the right side, and if you would do it, if you would lean on the right side, you would have the veshet ke'ilu, before the kana would be before, and then you would have a problem, because this koiva, even though it's covered when you're eating, but gravity, if you lean back, then the thing would flip open. So by leaning on the left side, and you have the Indian that it flips open, then but if you do it on the left side, you're avoiding the food going down the windpipe, which is dangerous.
But the veshet is not directly behind the kana in an animal?
It's not mamash directly, it's a bit on the side.
In humans it is.
That's why I said, in anything that I've seen, I've never seen inside of a human, and give me a rope, I should never have them.
Could this be that's why they learned their anatomy from animals, and that's why with dinner of the Seder, they just said what they know.
I hear where you're coming from. Well, we discussed the four, right? How many chambers to the heart, right? It was with you, no? When I gave a shir, and the Sheikh Noruch says there are three chambers to the heart. Any doctor will tell you there are four. So there's a whole way of how explaining. But anyway, I hear what you're saying, but I'm sure Chazal knew what they were talking about. So anyway, so here you have the koiva, the shipu koiva is here. Here you see the shipu koiva. This slant is the shipu koiva, and right after the shipu koiva, you have the tabas hagadoyla. And the tabas hagadoyla is right here, and then starts the rings, which don't have a full circumference. The circumference goes. I can cut it up. This is the corner. And this is the veshet, and here you can see that right here. Here, you see, this part is skin. So it's a U, it's like a U, but here it's not the same. So here you have the cartilage. Between each cartilage you have what I would call skin, for lack of a better term. And this part is also skin.
Membrane.
Yeah, membrane. There's many words we can use.
That's a trachea.
Yeah, that's a trachea. Yeah. And here you can see the two skins, the white and the red. So small. Here you can see this. I'm pushing out the white skin from inside, and this is the red skin from outside. And if I would have a longer piece, I would show you how you turn it inside out. But this is the red, and this is the red, and this is the white. This was a goat. And I wanted to thank Moshe Klein from Kosher Deli for providing the pieces. The what? No. Goat is used only for milk. There's no market for the Arabs, the Muslims eat goat meat. I used to go for Shkita to Chicago. They used to bring to Toronto, so I used to go. And there, they shechted a lot of goat. Because I was told that the Muslims eat goats.
We can't eat goat meat, or we can.
You can try. It's not very tasty. That's what they say.
It's too tough.
Here you can see the red and the white. This is the white, the inside.
Did the Rav ever shecht elk?
What?
Did the Rav ever shecht elk?
No.
In Calgary, they do elk.
Yeah, I heard. I saw elk in Montreal. They had in the pen elk that was going to be shechted. I never saw them actually shed the elk.
How would it work, though, as the Mora talks about when you put a knife into the neck and then you shed backwards and shed the body?
Yeah, very simple. Very good question. That's Chaloda according to Rashi. So it's very simple because you have to know what you're doing. But first you open up the outside skin. So you expose this is what you see first, right? This is the kona, right? So you go between the kona and the veshet, you see? I'll show you.
Inside and then shift outside.
This is one finger that's coming out of the veshet, right? So this is where it starts, because, right, this is the mouth. So there's no room for two fingers to put in, but I can put in, I put in one finger there, and this is the same finger, but in a different thing, in the corner. So you see, so these are not, even though they're connected, but you know, you could separate them. You could separate them. They're totally separable.
You can do it when animals are alive.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's humane, but you could technically do it. So you shecht one simon, and then you put in the knife, and you go from inside, and you do the other one. Yeah. So all these things have names, you know, the membranes and the things that hold it together. But the etzem, you can separate the two.
Ikur.
So ikur is a machloikas rishonim, what ikur means. According to Tosfos being ikur means if it has a beginning. That simple. But then, according to what Tosfos means another pshat, that the mokem simonim, which means exactly like this, that you find the animal with the mokem simonim is nekar from the throat.
What does that mean? It's still joined inside, or is it?
No,
like a gash. If the animal would swallow something,
it wouldn't go down. And that's what Tosfos asks. That's not a concern in the shmita. It's a chesaron in the behemoth, so that's why it doesn't fit with the other halachas, and that's why Tosfos brings that it's a pekima, and that's called ikur.
It's not attached to the end.
This should
no,
be
when, you, when it's nekar in that way. You're
yeah,
saying
that
it's,
means
it's not attached
yeah,
all the way to
yeah,
the
so,
end.
So by animals, I've never heard or seen such thing. By chickens, very common. That,
it's held in place by the cartilage, but the end is not actually attached.
No, it's connected
through.
There, and then you can rip it up.
What's very common by chickens?
That it's oikr the simonim. That's why the Ramos says. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Ramos says that the shochet has to put his finger in to do what? To make sure that the simonim are still connected. In the other side, because otherwise, I've seen many times where you shecht it, but what comes out is the mokem achibur, the koiva comes out. So this is the koiva, and this is the shipu koiva. So the shipu koiva is where shechit is kosher. The koiva is already higher than the shipu koiva, right? The shipu koiva is where the slander goes after it. And then here you have the tabas hagadoyla. You can feel it. You can feel the tabas hagadoyla with your finger. How it's a full circumference.
That's a very basic question. Sure. It's possible to shecht without cutting the blood vessels, the major blood vessels,
sure.
The arteries. Sure. And technically, the animal could still be alive,
yes.
Even after the sheet.
Sure.
So it's not really a way of killing the animal.
No, that's the filling between Bnei Noach and Yisroel. Bnei Noach is Eva Menachai until it dies. By Yisroel, it's Shechita. You have no idea what people would do. Okay, this is very well recorded. there's a mishigas in North America. Here in England, they don't know about it. White veal. Right? What's white veal? White veal is it's having the cake and eating it all, basically. In other words, you don't want to eat red meat because it's not healthy. So they found a way to keep the meat of the veal white.
They didn't let it do anything, right?
No. So there's many different ways of doing it. So in the early 1900s, there's chuvas, they would stab the veal and let it leave. And it took 48 hours or more until it would die. And if it's bleeding while it's still alive, so the redness is very reduced. And then they would check it right before it died, and that was the white veal. Now, there are many shilas in halacha besides Tzar Bal Chaim, even though Tzar Bal Chaim is allowed in certain, that's why I said, look in the Ramah, he gives you all the details, this when yes, when not. This is definitely not allowed, because this is Tzar Bal Chaim. Why would we trade them? Yeah. But there is a concern in Treifas. We didn't get to it. That's the Mishnah Daf Lamed Zayin. Speaks about Mesukenes. Mesukenes means an animal that's half dead, which, by the way, is the whole shaila with stoning, right? In the 1930s, when Germany came out with the law that no shechita, many rabbonim wanted to make a concession about stoning. So stoning doesn't mean that it's dead. I've seen animals that were stoned and they came back to life. Stoning is like it gets electrocuted, and then, I mean, the goyim, by the way, you know how they kill the lamb and the beef and the goat? They electrocute it.
They use a pole.
What?
They use a pole.
No, that's for beef. Yeah, for the lamb, it's it's baltashkas, right? Use a bullet. They use. They have such a thing that they electrify it. Electrocute.
But they claim that it's some sugar.
It's horrible. It looks horrible. It's horrible. You see it. You see it. The pain that it goes through. So as the shechita, you don't see any pain. If you watch the animal, it's not in pain, because as soon as you sever certain veins, it doesn't feel. It's unconscious.
But the mice that we sever those veins as part.
Yes. We do it, and when it's done, it's very humane.
We do that mitzvah
halacha as well. Mitzvah. No, mitzvah practicality. If a shoicha doesn't do it, the abattoir kicks him out. They throw you out.
Well, you have to check
They're not stupid. They know when someone knows what he's doing and when someone doesn't know what they're doing. Yeah, we've had shochtim that were taken off the line, and we had to retrain because the animal was throwing itself, and you can have, I've seen it, with a cow, after it's let out of the box, it runs around. And it's dangerous also for the people working there.
So practically speaking, you check the color and the vessel and the blood
vessels. And the blood vessels.
Those ones you're talking about, that's not the blood vessels, you're talking about blood vessels on the top of the neck?
Breathing is by the Mokama Shechita. There's a very interesting.
Where would it be on this?
What?
Where would it be on this?
It's not here. It's here, but you can probably find it here somewhere. Maybe this.
And there's no issue with Shilin.
There's an external jugular, right?
No. Yeah. This one. I think this looks like the jugular. Here. See here a bit? Right here. See the hole. The tongue is here. The tongue is here. The tongue is still there. The tongue is still there. Anyway, that's as far as the shechita is concerned. So, we do it in such a way. What were we saying?
Shehiyah is only if there's something external to it. So to be made for the second
So first of all, it's done right after. It's done. It's the simonim are first. The simonim stick out first. If you go the lahavdil, the Muslims, when they kill, they also use a knife, but they don't do it like we do. They go for the vein. They go vein, and then they cut the throat. And the shochtim cut the throat, and then with that ma'aseh shechita, they go through the vein.
Do it the other way around. So
mesukenes means that the animal is half dead. So these animals, by the time you shechted those veal, so the rabbanim asin. Then there was another method, which is mentioned in Rav Moshe Feinstein, that the animal would be kept in a pen and restricted, wouldn't be allowed to move, and you fed it, and that's what made it white. And then that also was banned. Today, they have a totally different system, which is very humane and very, very, very sweet, actually. I went to check out such a farm when I was in Canada, in Cambridge, Ontario. They had a beautiful farm where literally you feel like you're in a nursery. You know, they get these young animals, they feed them a certain feed, and that feed makes them wheat, you know, white. It doesn't allow it to become as red meat, properly red meat.
The Muslims don't have...
The animals enjoy it. They're mamish. They're like in their environment. They're mamish in their... There's a very sweet smell. It's very nice. It's like very... It was a very nice experience. The reason why they sent me down was because there were rumors that they fed them basa b'cholof. The feed was tallow and whey. And if you give an animal only treifas, there's a big shaila whether you can have. There's something called mispatni, behemish mispatni. That's the reason why some people don't buy milk that was milked on Pesach. Because if the animals eat chametz, so on Pesach, the milk becomes also. Some people only buy milk that was milked before. But I checked it out, and it was kevet sheni, which means they didn't cook meat and milk. They took a vat, filled it up with hot water, and then added the powders, and that's not a problem for, it's not the raisa, so we're not allowed to have it, such type of meat and milk, but it's not called an issa.
What are those two semicircular bones?
These?
Yeah.
These are bones. This is where the head is connected to the spine. Here you can see the chuf ha-shebe. Chuf ha-shebe is this. They have whatever.
It's a halal.
Allahu Akbar.
Halal and mahalal.
And it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down.
Arabic, halal means halal, and mahalal means not halal.
I've seen.
As long as they have a knife.
If you're not a frum Muslim, I've seen be'enai ra'isi that, you know, when you go to the abattoir, so let's say we get 100 and they get 100, right? So between, you know, when they work, we take a break. So I was watching them, and they were shooting. They were doing, you know. As long as it's in their quota, then whatever goes is fine. But those are the non-frum ones. Halal, there's only one stamp. There's no, like, we have all kinds of different sharim and all kinds. But I've seen many Muslims will take shechita, but some won't. The frum ones won't. Why?
In Hong Kong, I said, I'm slaughtering the baracha just with the stab of a knife.
Oh, well then, they said Allahu Akbar?
Huh?
They said Allahu Akbar?
Yeah, but it's not for the Arabs.
Why would we consider
that? Because they make a bracha on each animal. They say Allah Akbar on each animal. We only make on the first. They're from Adanoth. No, there was a very interesting story. I was involved in the COR, and we had a meeting. They wanted that the COR should certify halal. I think the London Bezin does. No? No. They don't rely.
It's not London Bezin Shkita.
What?
It might be London Bezin Shkita. No, we don't do that. It's not.
No, what I'm saying is, do they rely on London Bezin and on certain product? What?
I mean, it could be the Muslims are. I mean, if, for example, some meat or something
like that. COR is the Toronto Lashes. So they came to the COR. They wanted that the COR should certify certain things. And the only thing that they were more machmer is the alcohol. Right? So if anything has alcohol, so wine, fine. But if it's not wine, we're not machmer. So, but they trusted. And the Rabbanim decided that we're not doing it. It's not something that... But they wanted to, because, you know, they're very big, but they don't have the same organized... the organization is not the same, so...
Are they kosher?
You tell me.
Can I try?
Please, put on your own risk.
I'll do it on the smaller one.
This is more than Brazil. Brazil.
Yeah, 14.
So my grandfather, when he was a Shreya Nele.
You just need to finish it. She's
tough. You tell me, what do you feel? This is as possible as it comes.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's why I don't want to do it.
If your nail goes in,
you go in there that way or that way?
Go on.
You have to do your nail that
that's
way.
That's the cover.
Both ways. It's six medikas.
The cartilage.
The tabas.
And just if you were to push up this animal, that would cover the top of the head.
Why the middle finger?
Sheet is right here. Right here.
I want to get a slice of it.
Sheet is right
here. You've got.
Next day.
So this was like this.
Yeah.
Right? Here's the body. That's a go. What?
We don't do go there, where you get it.
Trace, is it?
That's available. Yeah, this came from somewhere else.
The Shaila, the other person was asking about. The other person was asking with the shucking through the bug.
Which could be more sensitive.
There is a reason why it becomes a thing, because. I mentioned a few times, you know how the skin is tight, so as soon as you cut, it pulls itself back.
Right.
So as soon as it pulls itself back, what you're cutting is just the bug at that point. You're not hitting the sides even.
Yeah, but it depends how. It's impossible to know.
Why it's here, because the skin ultimately pulls back, but the bug doesn't.
Yeah, but how big is the vegetable of the chicken?
Yeah.
How big is this? You saw? It's tiny. Chicken is not half, it's not a quarter. It's
And then if it pulls itself back, then whatever is inside it, this pulls back, and then you're just cutting.
No, that's not how you do it.
You do it like it. Like at the bottom here, like this area.
It's not terrible.
How do you show?
No, there's a special stones. I have a stone. But here you can see them.
Can we help the rock tidy up? How do you
Do you ever do shoes?
Yeah,
I've never
come
here.
Never give her a friend.
In England. You need a license. No, the Shorcha needs. Yeah, in Toronto, you need a license. I check sometimes.
What are the six?
So it's one side, two sides.
Oh, the nail.
Oh, the nail, up and down. The Gemara.